The truth is out there, somewhere. The question is, do we want to find it? Oxford Dictionary's 2016 Word of the Year was post-truth. It cited the word's spiked use in the context of the Brexit vote and the U.S. presidential election. This is an issue that's of interest to Lynn Vavreck. She's a political science and communication professor at UCLA and has written about it. I caught up with her recently and asked if she thinks the notions of what is truth and what is a fact have evolved over the past few years.
I don't think that whether something is a fact or is true has evolved. But mostly what I found interesting about some of the work that's coming out of social psychology was this idea that something could feel true. So regardless of whether a thing actually is true, does it feel true? And that was sort of where Stephen Colbert went when he coined the phrase truthiness, has some sort of feeling of truth to it.
I don't trust books. They're all fact, no heart. And that's exactly what's pulling our country apart today. Because face it, folks, we are a divided nation. Not between Democrats and Republicans or conservatives and liberals or tops and bottoms. No. We are divided between those who think with their head and those who know with their heart.
And it really seems like it depends on any number of factors, whether somebody believes something is true or not, and then whether some other person thinks something is true or not, right?
Well, the two things that I found interesting were different concepts, but they're related. And one is what psychologists call social consensus. So do other people believe this thing? And there's this idea that if a lot of other people believe something, I'm more likely to think it's true. And I thought that was an interesting idea in this particular moment in time with social media. And then the second concept was familiarity. How easy is it for me to believe this thing that I'm hearing because of all the other things I also believe?
I want to ask about the ease factor, and I'm wondering if there's something to be said for the fact that there's so much information and so many opinions coming at us from all different angles at all hours of the day anymore. Is there just an overload that we don't have time and maybe we're just too tired to really do the kind of research that maybe we ought to and think, okay, well, enough people believe this, I guess it must be true?
I think that probably most people don't slow down enough to do research about any kind of decision, whether it's political or in the column that I wrote, I talked about deciding where to get your haircut or who to hire to fix your refrigerator or your washing machine. Sometimes people go to Consumer Reports for things like that, but a lot of times we're falling back on shortcuts like a referral from a friend or someone the neighbor used or someone who you think has a nice haircut and you ask them, where did you go to get your haircut? So those kinds of shortcuts, people use those all the time. And so I'm not sure that that's any different today because of how busy people are, how much information is out there than it was, say, 10 years ago. But the fact that social media has made it easier for us to only hear from and speak to people who are like us, I think that's where things get a little interesting.
And it seems like there's a certain irony there because, as you say, there's an ease to get this information. But, you know, when you're trying to do research, it seems like that is so much easier to do in many cases, at least now as well. I mean, public documents are archived online. You can watch congressional arguments or legislative arguments and debates online. You can literally sit in your living room in your pajamas and be reading public documents and lawsuits and get all kinds of information that you couldn't get before.
Yes, but I know you don't really think people are going to sit down and watch congressional debates online when they can just ask their neighbor or friend or, you know, coworker, are you voting for this guy or the other guy? That is so much easier. It takes so much less time. So the fact that it is easier to actually do research, I don't think overwhelms the fact that it's still much more costly than relying on a shortcut or your gut intuition.
So do we then need to do a better job, I guess, if this is the way that we're going to make our decisions by asking people, do we need to do a better job of figuring out who exactly we should be asking for this sort of thing?
Well, I think what the research in social psychology has shown is that if you just slow people down enough to just get their brain to focus just a tiny bit. So the experiment that I liked was one in which they just asked people a very simple question: how many animals of each kind did Moses bring on the ark? And most people just right away, when they read this question in a normal typeface, said two. But of course, it's Noah who's bringing animals on the ark. And when they wrote it in a typeface that was slightly difficult for the eye to read, more people were able to recognize, hey, that's not Moses. The answer here is zero. And so you don't really have to explicitly be telling people, I am now making you think. It's just enough to slow the brain down a little bit.
Do you find that, and does the research find, that people are legitimately looking for information? They really want to know what other people think, or are they just kind of looking for a reinforcement to what they themselves already think?
No, I think that there is value in this idea of social consensus. So thinking that other people think that this is true, that has value to people as they're evaluating whether to believe it's true. So I do think that does seem to matter to people, maybe not explicitly, but certainly subconsciously. There is a signal there when I can see that a lot of people are believing a thing.
Lynn Vavreck is a professor of political science and communication at UCLA. Lynn, thanks a lot for your time.
You're welcome.